Hey, Scoble.
So who are you?
I am Dan Fernandez.
Yeah, you've been on Channel 9 before.
I have been on Channel 9 before, and today we're doing my other life, which is coding for fun and Express stuff.
Ooh.
So,
And what is Coding for Fun?
So Coding for Fun is our website on MSDN. It is basically the place where we have all our cool projects. And we're here to
translation,
show some of those.
All the projects that don't make any money.
We get to use some APIs that may be against, you know, iTunes, Google. You'll see some samples there that aren't traditional business ones. And just more about just cool software.
Okay.
So with us, have my partner in crime, Brian Keller.
How's it going?
Hey there.
And John Wingfield.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hey, real well.
And the Z-Man, Andy Dunn, who's one of our writers. So I think the big thing we wanted to show was just show off some of the cool stuff we're doing for Coding for Fun, and then actually show off some of the cool projects.
That'd be fun.
Okay, so you want to take
Oh, you're going to actually show me stuff.
I'll start by just giving you a quick roundup of the site.
Okay.
So we went live with the site at Beta 2. I'll make sure to sign off before I start getting instant messages from random people. Let's see. Biggest things that we're doing is we're still in a growth phase. So we have a lot of the projects on here, but we basically have them broken down by area. So one of the classics here is the SumAssembly required, which is done by RD. Oh,
now this thing started moving.
Yeah. Well, we're just powering it up. It'll be there in a second. Scott Hanselman actually did some demos, and we're going to show some of them. Including programming.
Hold on a second. Let me get my tripod so I can get closer on your screen.
Sure.
There we go.
So programming some LCD devices.
Okay.
So, like, for example, programming an LCD device to display what music you're listening to. So you can imagine you could do, like, for example, you could even use that LCD display in your car and actually display what MP3s are playing rather in a nice display as opposed to having to fiddle with your MP3 player or iPod or whatever.
Oh, cool.
A couple other samples are GPS ones and so forth. A couple other areas that we have, web development. Game development is also a big area. We started with a beginner's game development webcast series. That was the game development 101 webcast, and it was done by a company named DigiPen. This was with the USBMO guys, who's our academic team. DigiPen guys, they did 8, and I think it ended up being like one of the most successful.
One of the top-rated webcasts on MSDN, and DigiPen's cool because they were the first institution to actually offer a bachelor's in game development. And now I think there's 20 some odd schools you can actually get a game development degree from. But DigiPen was one of the first, and they're actually located just down the street from the Redmond Microsoft campus.
Very cool.
Yeah, so people love game development. We want to show them how they can go about creating their first DirectX game in Visual Basic C#. We have a bunch of beginning game development articles as well. And Andy, for example, does articles as well on DirectX programming with his Ask the Z-Man. Rather than spend a lot of time, just...
What does Z-Man stand for?
Z-Man doesn't stand for anything. I started a community site called The Z-Buffer, and so the logical name for who ran The Z-Buffer was The Z-Man. So that's kind of where it came from.
Got it.
I guess the other thing I'd show is we all are doing videos. So, for example, we have Tony Northrup doing do-it-yourself videos. Like, he shows how you can control X10 in your house and actually shows how you can program X10 and...
X10's a home automation standard.
X10 is a home automation standard.
Yeah,
so you spend $50 and now you can program. So one of the things that I have on my to-do list is actually to program a alarm clock. A Dynet alarm clock that turns my lights, you know, starts playing my favorite music playlist slowly and then louder, and then starts turning the lights on with the dimmer on loud. And, you know, you have the basic components all there on the site, and it shows you step by step actually unscrewing light sockets and turning off circuit breakers so you don't get electrocuted. So it's the do-it-yourself, you know, for the year 2000 for Total Geeks. So
okay.
It's a lot of cool stuff. I think what we'll do now is just show if you want to...
Yeah.
Are you ready to show GPS?
Yep. So cool. This is a demo that's on the site. You can download all the source code for it. And basically what we're using here is the GPS. This is a USB GPS device that actually ships with Microsoft Streets and Trips 2006.
Yep.
So you can go out and buy that for about $120. $10 and you get this great mapping program, but you also get this GPS so I can use it in my own custom applications. So what I've done here is I've just downloaded the source code. This was also written by Scott Hanselman, and he used some serial port libraries that were available out in the community as well. He was actually able to upgrade it to the .NET Framework 2.0 by using the built-in serial port libraries and basically cut out about 4,000 lines of source code just because of those new serial port libraries.
Excellent.
So that's a hobbyist dream when you get to cut out all that extra source code and get to program against cool serial hardware like this. But then when I actually connect to this GPS device, what you'll notice is it actually goes out and looks for the satellites. And so you'll see that from this location, even though we're indoors, we can hit about 8 satellites, and it plots those as coordinates on my map. So here we are in Redmond, and those are the various satellites and their relative locations to us. We can actually drill into the National Marine Electronics Association, I believe, is the NMEA data that comes with GPS. So here's all the individual data that's coming off of each one of those satellite locations. And so we can then use that in other applications. For example, if I wanted to write an application that, you know, showed my commute to work, I could do that and start plotting a lot of cool stuff. So that's a good sample, really easy to program against. Let me show you another one here. This is another article by Scott Hanselman. It's programming this USB wireless security key. So these are devices you can get for about $12, $13. And the idea is you'll see I actually have one end that plugs into USB, and it's communicating with this device. So I would take the round piece and actually, for example, put that in my pocket. And then we can program cool things to happen when I actually step away from my computer. So let's say that, you know, I'm being loud with maybe some Bob Marley music. Start playing that here. And crank that up so you can hear that on your video. And, you know, it's nice for me to listen to that in my office, but when I get up and go to the restroom, I want that to actually turn off. So I'm just going to take our USB wireless security key, and we'll simulate me leaving my office. We'll actually just chuck that away. And then in just a few seconds, it'll actually notice that I've gone. There's a timeout of about 7 seconds. But once it notices, there you can see it's no longer detected. And what it's automatically done is muted my workstation, so I'm not annoying my neighbors anymore. So that's great. We can program it to do things like defrag my hard drive or lock my computer or maybe, you know, synchronize mail when I walk away from my workstation. All sorts of cool samples you can actually program just by using the code you find on Coding for Fun.
That's very cool.
Yep. John, do you have something for us?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things that Coding for Fun really does, I mean, we talked here already about, you know, cool gadget-type stuff, but it's also giving people a way to show that they can do things to be more productive with their computer. Students love this. People who just want to be more efficient with how they use a computer are coming up with stuff. This is an example from an app by Sean Campbell. Let me bring this back up. I've got this in the build because we always have the code available. So when you download, you get both VB and C# versions of the code. So depending on which tool you're using, you can open up. In this one, I've already done a build. Let me go ahead and just hit F5 and run. This is called Research Assistant. What I like about Research Assistant is it does something that it's not something we couldn't do through a few extra steps on our own, but it provides everything in one place. So what this does, and just to show a search here, I'll type in something real fast. Maybe not that fast. Fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. And hit the search button. Now, what this is programmed with currently is the following searches: Google Web, Google Group, Google News, Feedster, and Technorati. What it's done is it's gone out and done the searches on all of these at one time. I can go into this code and I can set for any other search engines I want, MSN, any other one that I want, and just add it to it. So at one time, I can do all my searches at one spot. And this can just sit very, you know, very nicely down at the bottom of your toolbar and bring it up whenever you want it. Another one that we see people doing is, and I unfortunately am not able to do it today because we had some equipment issues. We talked before about Tony Northrup and some of his stuff with Active Home and X10. We had a gentleman by the name of John Gelson who works for our gaming group who has come up with another X10 device called the 1132. Now, this particular one accepts two additional protocols besides what Tony is doing. Tony's using the CM11A. John wrote code for this using what's called the 1132B protocol. And there's another one called the 523. We're actually in the process of creating a wrapper class that combines all three protocols at once so that you can take Tony's code, the code from apps that John has written, which we'll be posting in coming weeks on Coding for Fun, and be able to use that code to do any kind of Active Home or X10 type applications you want, regardless of the protocol that the equipment is actually made for.
Yep.
So.
Very cool.
Cool stuff. Andy, you ready with your pen and salt?
Yeah.
This is cool.
So
what do you got over here?
So what we've got here, a couple of things that are from Coding for Fun, and first new thing, Xbox 360 controller. They handed these out at the DirectX conference this year, so a handful of people got one.
You got the wired one. The Xbox actually comes with a wireless.
That's right. This is actually one of the ones that's going to work on the PC. They're available for the PC in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly on the date. You can see here the little ring of fire or whatever they're calling it. So this is indicating that I am number one controller here.
Yep.
There's a new API just come out in the latest DirectX SDK called X-Input. Only works with these controllers, so we're running some good beta software here. The other cool thing we've got is a little pan and tilt camera kit here. The kit comes from a company called Fidgets, and they're a partner with the Coding for Fun guys here. And what we've done is we've taken the sample code that they provide for this and we've wired it into the new SDK. So if we look at the controller here, we can move the camera. And if we catch Robert around, he's running away, and I can't turn the camera around far enough. And it all works. And you can see on the screen there that, here we go, there's Robert filming away. We've also got vibration wired in, which of course isn't going to be a great demo on the camera, but maybe it'll shake a little. No, I don't think so. So as the camera hits the limits of the servo motors, we actually can vibrate back to the controller.
Very cool.
All done in C# Express, all done in Managed DirectX. All cool new .NET stuff.
This is really cool. How long did it take to code that?
The main bit of the video code actually came from Fidgets, and that was already written. Putting the Xbox controller on was about 15 minutes of code because the new API is really cool. Building the little robot, which comes in a kit, took about 45 minutes to do.
45 minutes?
Yep. Excellent. You can buy this online today, I believe.
You can get the whole kit with webcam, and just go to fidgetsusa.com. They sell that whole kit for about $120, $130, and you can even use any webcam you have pretty much for mounting on top of that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big things is it's so easy to code certain parts of Windows, but you wouldn't know it. We kind of are beating the enterprise drum so much, but with cameras and any USB device, like a digital camera, if you want to create your own custom application to capture pictures, there's a COM library called Windows Image Acquisition, and it's literally one line of code to capture a picture. If you want to do text-to-speech, it's literally one line of code to have whatever you want to say actually spoken out using text-to-speech.
Now, do you have samples that explain those one lines of code
and how
they work and what you need? What are the dependencies?
Exactly right. So Scott has the Windows Image Acquisition code. I'm having a problem with that. And then the other one is the text-to-speech that we have as well. And they're both on the site. They actually created a system monitor application that Jeff Key had wrote. He was a blogger that we discovered that started writing for us and wrote a couple cool applications, URL Buddy and System Monitor, and they added voice to System Monitor. So if your machine's running out of disk space, for example, it'll actually tell you and using a text-to-speech synthesized voice. So a lot of cool projects and really taking out the cool, showing this cool stuff within Windows, whether it's DirectX, whether it's, hardware, software, video.
Now, you said you had videos that explain how to build some of these kinds of projects.
Yeah.
Do they assume no programming experience, or what level are they written toward?
Well, the honest answer is we have both. So, for example, some of the articles, just show something simple, like, for example, taking an application and just setting the wallpaper, your Windows desktop wallpapers. How do you do that automatically and programmatically through code? Other ones are more involved, like creating your first, Atari video game for using DirectX. So it really depends on the article, on the complexity. So, but we do try and get both the you-know-nothing and the, you're a seasoned veteran that just wants to learn cool stuff.
And do you have forums there? So if I have a question and I'm stuck and I can't get it to work the way it works on the video, can I ask questions there?
Well, what a great question.
So we actually use a third-party website you may have heard of. It's Channel 9.
Oh.
We actually link back to Channel 9 discussion forums for providing our discussion, continuing the discussion over there. But another thing that I think that we should talk about is the Visual Studio Express product. products as well. So a lot of your viewers have probably already downloaded the Express products, but these are really a great way to get started. So you asked about, you know, if I am a complete beginner, how do I get started with this? And you can actually go out and download beta 2 of the Express products today, and in a few weeks you'll be able to get the full-blown Express products as well. Yeah. And the idea there is that Visual Studio over the past 10, 12 years has really become this really great development environment, sort of a 747 cockpit of development environments. But, you know, just like 747s, no one learns how to start flying with a 747. You start with a Cessna, right? So we spun off the Express products to really give that simplified, streamlined, low-cost experience back to the beginner developer, the hobbyist developer that just has time to do this on the weekends. And we also have a lot of content, like Dan mentioned. We have an article series right now, a webcast series, that takes you from absolutely knowing nothing about programming. Let's say you don't know what a variable is, for example, and you want to actually go from zero to actually building your first RSS reader. We actually have that application as a webcast series that you can actually follow along with. And that's available in both Visual Basic and C#, linked off of the Express sites. So there's a lot of great content we're coming out with.
Now, I heard the Express SKUs were pretty low cost. How much are they, actually? How much will I have to pay for them?
We're trying to make them as easily acquirable as possible. I think that's the best answer we can give.
Okay. So are you announcing pricing on November 7th?
We sure are. November 7th, when we launch the rest of the Visual Studio 2005 and SQL Server 2005 products, we'll be announcing the pricing for that as well. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.